Blog Talk Radio.
How you guys doing out there today? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. All right, this is Joseph Smith, and I'm out here today. I'm just doing a special report. I was looking at this world called soul food for those that are hungry. You know, that's what this is going to be about today, because we are, some of us even attend church, but still are never spiritually fed. We don't get the word of God like we're supposed to, and a lot of us are malnourished in this day and time. You know, a lot of people run around, and I was looking at things because I've been picking up my study again, increasing. You know, it's constant battle as we live in this world with all these obstacles that we deal with, you know, in everyday living. But I realized the Bible was telling us something in chapter 18 of Revelation. And we're talking about spiritual food today. What I'm talking about is what says the word of God in the era when the word of God is absent. And he was talking about Babylon the Great, okay, America, where we live at. Some people say, oh, yeah, we don't live in America. Yes, we do. And he said, and this is Revelation 18, he says, after this thing, I saw another angel, okay, come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become what? The habitation of devils, the very dwelling places, the dwelling place of fallen spirits. And he said, in the hold of every foul spirit, in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now notice he says, for all nations have drank of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins. In other words, to partake is to be taking part lawless conduct, and that you receive not of her plagues. In other words, God, divine judgment. Everybody say America is not in the Bible. You look at that scripture. You tell me who has been the greatest influence on this world. And when they begin to leave away from God, who has been the greatest influence for pushing for homosexual rights and all kind of different lawlessness, and people telling them, look, at this point, the kings of the world are saying, we don't want to have nothing to do with you. If you pay attention to what's going on in the scene, you know, Philippines, we've been in the Filipino island since about 1900. And now we're dealing with, you know, not just the Philippines, but many nations are abandoning America. America is a nation of perverse living. Everything is allowed here. You know, and the people who are saved, those who truly believe in the Lord today, those people who are saved, okay, are being influenced and constantly bombarded, even on our computers, with illicit stuff, you know, pornography. I mean, all this stuff is so easily accessed in America. People can't get basic human rights, you know, as such as being black, but they'll give somebody who decides to be a homosexual the right to choose whatever kind of lifestyle they live, okay? So when you think about what we're dealing with a nation full of abominations, okay? So we're dealing with America, even down to the time we're in, the era we live in. We live like no one else lives in this world. But what the people don't know, the time is come, the end is here. Okay? We're at the end of this age. Okay? And so when we deal with that, it's not just the world that's on judgment. The first person to go is going to be this nation. He said, come out of her. Come out of her meaning what? He's telling you to abandon the mindset that you're seeing here in this country now. Okay? So my people, that you be not partakers. In other words, we have become so indulged in sin ourselves. When you look at the church of Laodicea, you see in the Laodicean church. Okay, Laodicean church. He begins to address the Laodicean church because they were like none other. They said, he said, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says, amen, the faithful and true witness of the true witness, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would that thou was cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, okay, and neither cold nor hot, I will spill thee out of my mouth. It says, because thou said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know it not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. This is the state of the believer here in America. They're neither cold or hot. They don't stand for nothing no more. You know, they got the good life. They got everything. They got everything they need, okay? And what I'm talking about, food for your soul, understanding where you're at. There's times and seasons for everything. There's a time and season to encourage a person and tell them good things, and then there's a time and season when you're telling them, get yourself together. Judgment is coming. It's not the time to tell you everything is going to be all good. You see, that's the world today. The churches of the world today, those supposed places where they could, when you look at the word where it comes, Kakuska, it's the perfect name for them, churches. It's the Lord's or ruler house. You have to go down to the courthouse and register your church, meaning it's a government entity. I'm talking to those that are from the kingdom of God, meaning that if you're from the kingdom of God, that you have truly been born again, as it said, according to the scriptures, not a religious experience. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3, it said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he has no ability to even comprehend the kingdom of God. He don't even understand the true message of Christ. Those people don't hear the true message of Christ no more because they hear this thing about church. You join the church. But Christ told them in Matthew 16:16. Let's look at what he was talking about and understand what he came to establish. He did not come to establish a church. So when you don't really hear the truth, you don't know no better no more. The people of the day, they lukewarm. They're neither cold nor hot. They don't know if they want to be for God one day or not. One day they want to serve the Lord. Next day out in the club, partying, having a good time. Let's look at this. Mark 16:16. I'm looking at he that believes in and is baptized. Matthew 16:13. And when Jesus had come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he answered his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And thou said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See, that problem is even existing in this very time. Nobody seemed to have a true understanding of who Christ is. You go stand in these churches and they tell you, Jesus is God. What you mean you can't see that, brother? They go to running around all these different scriptures and trying to twist the scriptures, not understanding the king, not understanding what he came to establish. He didn't come to establish your church. He came to establish a kingdom. In the word they use in the Bible, because it was implanted by the Catholic Church. Okay, so that's a Latin slant. Whenever you see a Latin slant in the Bible, a lot of times it's kind of funny because I know there is extrapolis and interpolis. I always say I don't like talking about that because for babies in Christ, they'll start saying, oh, maybe something wrong with the Bible. Nothing is wrong with the Bible. The Bible is spiritually discerned. If you have not been born again, you cannot understand it. You're not going to get the grasp, the great depthness of it. So the word they translated, because they used to, before the Catholics, they had, because the Catholics have been around, but when they first start putting it in the English translation, it was assembly or congregation. But ecclesia means called out ones, called out to be a part of his kingdom. Okay, so let's look at what Christ came to establish. He didn't come to establish the Lord's ruler house, a building that is controlled by your government, being watched by your government. He didn't come for that. He didn't come to establish that kind of mess. And so it goes on to say, Simon answered. Now let's look at what was really said. He says, in verse 15 says, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Notice this, the Son of the living God, not our God. That's what they tell you when you go in these buildings today. He's God. You guys just don't understand. When chapter 14, he said, didn't he just say he was God? Christ has never, ever taught that he was God, nor has he claimed to be God. You look at one scripture in Acts 2, when the first part, when the kingdom of God gave birth on the earth after Christ had left, when he came to establish what he started, he came to begin to establish his kingdom. And the kingdom first part took birth on the day of Pentecost. It says, okay, in Acts 2 and 22, and I'll show you that if I get around to it, and I keep retain that in my thinking. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Notice that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. What you mean God is playing Houdini? A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So we find out that is the Son of God. The Bible don't teach you God. That's the twisting of the scriptures. And then he goes on to say, and Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See, it's spiritually discerned. So when people are stuck on that level of thinking that Jesus or Christ is God, it's because they don't have no spiritual discernment. They don't understand the word of God, nor do they believe it, because if they believed it, they would know he's not playing Houdini with them. Okay? Okay, so he goes here and said, it was revealed from God in heaven. He wasn't saying, I'm God, I'm jump up there, talk, jump back down here. Look what he said when he was baptized. If what they're saying is so true, look what it's just totally ridiculous of so what some people tell you. Right after his baptism, and it goes on to say, it said, it then came, and this is Matthew 3 and 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. In other words, fully submerged in water. But John forbidden him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee. Cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered and said to him, suffer. In other words, permit it to be so now, for thus it is. Thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove. He saw the power and authority of God descending out of heaven on into Jesus. It said, and lighting up on him. And then he said, and lo, a voice from heaven, this is scripture, people, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, how are you going to have a relationship with somebody you don't know? So we find out that he came here in the church of the day is so off when he talked about wouldn't you be the coming when his disciples were asking that. And he was basically telling them, and they were asking him, when shall he do away with all this evil that they were seeing? When should the kingdom of God be restored? See, and he told them, it's none of your, just look at that. Acts 1, they asked him this. He says, Acts 1 and 6, says, when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times. The times, notice that times, an S, of the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, his own God's own timing. He's going to take care of all of this. He knows when he's sending Jesus for it. It's not your business. He said, but they're going to be signs, but he's telling the disciples, not your business. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in all of Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So after the Holy Ghost, after they were filled with God's power and authority, did they have the ability to become witnesses? Who are these people today? They show up at your door. Some call themselves Jehovah's Witness. Show up at your door telling you, we have come to reveal the name of God to you. I'm like, huh? What you mean? Do you know what God's name is? Yeah, it's Jehovah. They ain't never been baptized in Jesus' name, nor do they have the Holy Ghost. And they talking about the name. They come to reveal the name. Well, something's wrong with that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Christ said something. It wasn't the same thing they talking. John, and I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about everybody who's using these different names, Yahshua and all. Well, first of all, there's 5,000 active languages. 5,000, as we know of. At the Tower of Babel, during chapter 10, when he came down, or 11, of Genesis, and scattered the people in their languages, you think God will not know what his name sounds like in every one of those languages? You have to go back and speak it in Hebrew, brother. The J didn't exist back then. The J is new. Hello. God understands all languages, and he's going to know how his name sounds. So what did Jesus say? Did he come in the name of Jehovah? Let's look at this one. I love it. Look at this. John 5 and 43. Look what he told them. And he said, I'm going to start at 42. He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Look at this. He said, I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. Pope Francis come in the name of the Catholic Church, and Pope Francis you receive. You see all the people in the world running behind him? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. What you saying, brother? Who did he come to? He didn't come in the name of Jehovah. What did he come in the name of? He came in the name of Jesus. So people will be, how is that going to be? It's like a man who has a son and names his child after him. Where Mary and Joseph did not decide what to name Jesus. It says, okay, so this is what happened when he was born, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and God spoke life into her belly. And this is Matthew 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was of this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused, in other words, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, God's power and authority. He spoke it. It was there. Look at Luke 1. It says, and then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is God's power and authority that baby exists. This is God's son. And he said, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall call his name Jesus. So Mary and Joseph did not give that name. That was the Father giving him his name. That's why when you find in Philippians 2, he said he has have a name that is above every name, because there is no name greater than his own name. He named his son after him. Okay, so this sounds foreign to y'all. Y'all who don't have the Holy Ghost, y'all who, and I have never finished John 3 and 5, y'all who did not receive the Holy Ghost, all those out there witnessing and don't have the Spirit, don't understand, you don't have the power and authority to do that until you have not been commissioned by God. You're out on your own will and doing your own thing. You're not doing God's thing Because if you were, you would bring the correct name to my door. He said, and it shall come to pass. This is Acts 19. I'm going to go to John 3 and 5 for some clarification on this kingdom of God, which he came to establish, and back to Matthew 16 to show you what Christ came to do versus what y'all are teaching. And it's, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, a lot of y'all don't even know that is a requirement. Talking about you saved, but with no confirmation. You hear me? You saved with no confirmation. Okay? It says, since we believe. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Don't even know it is a requirement. But you're at church. You're at the Lord's and ruler house. You ain't in the kingdom of God. Because when we come together as countrymen in a building. Okay? And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? You want to know, how did you get saved? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They didn't speak no foreign language. They actually tell you, because I'm not going to keep going harping on it, but a lot of y'all believing them babbling tongues with Isaiah 8 and 8 calls a wizard and peeping muttering. Familiar spirits who be doing that. It has nothing to do with God. They were prophesying. Just like on the day of Pentecost, when that Holy Ghost came down, they just start speaking another tongue. No, there's another words, no foreign tongue, no babbling tongue. What they did, verse 6 tell you, now when this was noise abroad, when everybody had got filled with the Holy Ghost, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak it Galilean? So where is your babbling tongue? Where is that? All that madness. It is no more than witchcraft. Okay? So they were prophesying. That's why they became convicted. Now let's look at 3 and 5, and I got to get back to Matthew 6. Let God have his way and do his thing. I'm trying to get out of the way. That's how you do this. Okay, so we read in John 3 and 3. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, you know, he become a new creature, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. In verse 5 said, John, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to know where that word church is at. He's talking about a kingdom. He's telling you, you have to be born again. As you see, the first part of the kingdom gives birth on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So you find out we're here on the day of Pentecost because he talks about the kingdom of God in chapter 17 of Luke. He tells you, because they asked him this, once again, what is he coming to establish versus the mess y'all are hearing out there? He says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So on the day of Pentecost, they were there, they were without observance. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house without observance. Boom, the Holy Ghost filling everybody in the house. Okay, that was filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them other ability. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heaven. Now when they heard this noise abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them in his own language. Where is your babbling tongue? And then verse 21 said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice that. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. They prophesy. They tell you the scriptures. They're not telling you their emotional feelings. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Verse 36, they're convicted. Now look at this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's supreme in authority in the Holy Ghost. He's the power and authority. He's living in all of us now. He says, now when they heard this, they were pricked. They were convicted because it was an understandable language to be comprehended in the mind. Okay, in their hearts, in their minds, saying unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Did he just tell them, call upon the name of the Lord? So they want to know, how do we apply this to our life? Then Peter said unto them, repent, throw away that religious garbage. Throw away your foul living. Turn to the scriptures. Turn to God. And be baptized, every one of you. Now there's the water. In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, water and spirit. Where's all these foreign teachings? When I was talking about yesterday, I told them it's the gospel, not a gospel. Okay? Where's all these foreign gospels they're coming up with? You don't have to be baptized. You can be saved this way. Don't even know they need the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to Mark 16:16 to see what's really going on here. Are you paying attention? Have I woke you up? Teaching, scriptural instructions, education through the scriptures, not philosophies. Okay, so he went on to say, I'm going to pick up on verse 18, because he had said, him being revealed to be God's son was spiritually given. It was given by God. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this principle, not upon Peter, but upon this principle, I will build. In other words, they put that word in there, which is ecclesia, they called out one, but I will build the church, they say. Remember, and it's an insert, but the kingdom. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and say, whosoever and whatsoever thou, not us, shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The apostles had the keys. It was all done at them. There was no more adding to be added. And he gave him the power and authority to let you in. He did, because he told us how to apply calling upon the name of the Lord, being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, making you a part of the kingdom. And he said, I'm going to just read one verse because time is not going to permit for the rest. And he said, Isaiah 8:16 said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. It's been finished at them. That was the complete work, we see, people. So Christ is telling us about how to get in his kingdom, and he gave his disciples that teaching to give to us. He didn't give them a teaching. He gave them the teaching. But this stuff today, what is it? What is it? If you ain't saved, you need to get saved. Time is running out. I felt the move of God to do this show today. You know, that's what I felt. And I said, you know what, let me set up the show, but the next show going to be our talk show, you know, to communicate to the people, because the word of God is no longer getting out. The word of God is absent in our world. They say in Amos 8, it talks about a time of famine when the word will no longer be heard. You see all this garbage. But nobody's telling you how to be saved. Nobody's telling you what's really going on. There's a war in kingdoms. Satan has his kingdom, this world, and all this foolishness we see. And then Christ has his kingdom, us who's living here behind enemy lines right now with his spirit in us. And then the coming kingdom that's going to usurp all these messed up, jacked up government and politicians and get them out of our world. Okay, foolishness. With Wells Fargo Bank, rips the people off, pay the politicians. If y'all don't realize our world is messed up and that we better start looking up to the kingdom of God, something wrong with you. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out, and thank you guys for giving me a little bit of your time. Thank you guys for coming out to the Revolutionary Gospel News. If you want to hear truth and the word of God and not foolishness, tune in Saturday.